Is your obedience to government driven by fear of punishment or true love for Christ? In this powerful devotional, we will look at Romans 13, which reveals why a blameless conscience before God changes everything. Continue listening now and transform how you submit to authority. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. I hope you are having a very blessed day as you drive into work or you sit there and have a good old cup of Joe, whatever it might be. I am glad that you are tuning in today to dive into God's Word. If you're enjoying this series on governing authorities from Romans chapter 13, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. We have a new goal to lay a foundation to be a ministry based on small donor dollars. And so I want to encourage you to think about $5, $10, $20, $100 a month, whatever it might be, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. I want to encourage you to become a financial partner with us so we can make that goal. You can go to fpiw.org and set that up. All right, so we are in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. It says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinances of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. And that's, we're focusing on verse 5. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. All right. So our big question today is pretty simple. Is your obedience more driven by fear of consequences or love of Christ? And we should think about that. Let me read that again. Is your obedience to the government more driven by fear of consequences or love for Christ? So it says in verse 5, therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. So here's what we need to understand is this whole portion of Scripture assumes or has the hermeneutical understanding, in other words, how we filter this because of the context is that the government is pushing us towards righteousness, and we should obey based upon that. So let's go read a story about Paul in Acts chapter 24. And, Paul, in this portion, he's standing before Felix, and it says this, 24:1, after 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down with some elders with an attorney named Tertullus, and they brought charges to the governor against Paul. So here we have a religious leader bringing charges, an attorney, and bringing charges towards Paul. After Paul had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying to the governor, since we have through you attained much peace, and since by your providence reforms are being carried out for this nation, we acknowledge this in every way and everywhere. Most excellent Felix, with all thankfulness, but that I may not weary you any further, I beg you to grant us by your kindness a brief hearing, for we have found this man a real pest and a fellow who stirs up dissensions among the Jews throughout the world and a ringleader for the sect of the Nazarenes. And he even tried to desecrate the temple. And then we arrested him. We wanted to judge him according to our law. But Lysias, the commander, came along and with much violence took him out of our hands, ordering his accusers to come before you. By examining him yourself concerning all these matters, you will be able to assert ascertain the things which we accuse him. The Jews also joined in the attack, asserting that these things were so. When the governor had nodded to him to speak, Paul responded. Okay, so we got Paul's response here. Knowing that for many years you have been a judge to the nation, I cheerfully make my defense. Here's Paul's defense. Since you can take note of the fact that no more than 12 days ago, I went up to Jerusalem to worship. Neither in the temple, nor in the synagogues, nor in the city itself did they find me carrying on a discussion with anyone or causing a riot. Nor can you prove to you the charges of which they now accuse me. But this I admit, that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers. Look at that. Believing everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. In view of this, look at that. I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience before God and before men. What did we just read in Romans? Paul says, hey, always be subject to the governing authorities and have a blameless conscience. I aim to do that. Now, after several years, I came to bring alms to my nation and to present offerings, in which they found me occupied in the temple, having been purified without any crowd or uproar. But there were some Jews from Asia who ought to have been present there before you and to make accusation if they should have anything against me. Or else let these men themselves tell them what misdeed they found when I stood before the council. Other than for this one statement, which I shouted out while standing among them, for the resurrection of the dead, I am on trial this day. But Felix, having a more exact knowledge about the way, put them off, saying, when Lysias, the commander, came down, I will decide your case. Then he gave orders in the centurion for him to be kept in custody and yet have some freedom and not to prevent any of his friends from ministering to him. All right. So Paul, in his argument to Felix, says, I do my best. In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience before God and before men. So that is our goal. God first, men second. So how do you have a fear, or what's your motivating factor for your fear of government? Is it their wrath, or is it out of a love relationship with Christ? Very important. Because you love Christ, you begin to honor the authority that he's put over you. Now, I've given this caveat 100 times. If the government asks you to disobey God's word, you have to suffer the consequences of not obeying the government and say, I have to obey God rather than men. It's incredibly important. The context of Romans 13 is that the government is doing stuff towards righteousness. All right, what is one area where you obey outwardly but grumble inwardly? Think about that. How can you invite the Spirit to make your conscience more tender, not more rigid? And finally, what would obedience from the heart look like in one specific civic duty? What would obedience from the heart look like in one specific civic duty? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would just change our hearts, that we won't obey because of the wrath of the government, but we would obey because of our love for you. God, that love places you first and foremost in our hearts and in our minds. That places you above all things. So if the government asks us to disobey you, we have to obey you first and suffer the consequences from the government that may be misaligned with your word. So go before us today. We pray for Bob Ferguson's salvation. We pray for Trump's salvation. We pray for all of our leaders to bow their knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Go before us today. We thank you for what you are doing in our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.